As we close this Spiritual Gifts Discovery Series, I am so thankful for having had this time, not only to reflect on each gift, but just the time that you've had to discover your gifts, to reflect on the gifts that God's given to you. And this is, we're very thankful to our equipping coordinator, Katrina Johns, for bringing this discovery assessment to us and leading us and guiding and encouraging in this. And this isn't something that we're then going to just put away and not have around anymore. This is going to be a continued way to encourage new people or keep encouraging one another to keep having those conversations about where is God leading us, where does God use each of us. And so keep your key rings. And if you haven't picked up a key ring or if you haven't done the assessment, you still can. But the key rings, again, are those reminders that the gift is one, the gifts are many, and the goal is one. The gift is one, and that's symbolized by the key ring itself. And the gift is one because it is the gift of faith, gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. We share that one gift. That one gift of knowing that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to give us eternal life. That he came to forgive us. He came to renew us. That's the one gift. But the gifts are also many, because every person is uniquely made by God. And so every person may have three different top gifts. And if you look at the whole outcome of taking the assessment, that combination is different for every person. All these different combinations, God has uniquely made you for service in his kingdom, for service in the community. The gifts are many. But then on the backside of each key tag is our pray, eat, love framework, that we are equipped by God to pray, eat, love, because the goal is one. We share one goal, that we pray, that we are in conversation with God, we worship, we study the word together, and we are built up in the faith. And then we go eat, we build relationships with one another, we build relationships with others. And we seek ways for love, to have those intentional spiritual conversations. We are equipped by God to pray, eat, love. So, the goal, or the gift is one, the gifts are many, and the goal is one. It's just a good reminder as we wrap up this series. We've got one more video in this series, although I have so enjoyed hearing the stories and insights from people, and I know Katrina is hoping to keep capturing some stories, because the more we capture stories, the more we're able to keep rejoicing in God. And when we get to a fifth Sunday, we've got all these stories we've heard that we can praise God for how he's using people. So hopefully we're going to keep using some videos and hearing more stories. But our last one for this series features two people being interviewed at the same time about the shepherding. So we've got J.J. Jones, and they talk about their occupation. So J.J. Jones is a dean of students at Learn Charter School in North Chicago. And then Carla Stewart, she's a physician's assistant. So you'll hear them talk about shepherding in terms of their occupation and in terms of life in the church.
Carla, what is it showing up as?
So I think for me, it's showing up in my professional life because of what I do. I'm seeing patients all the time, and yes, you can't really walk into a room and say, you know, how's your faith? How can I encourage you? But I think people give you signs, or they may say something about God, and then that opens up the door.
When certain things happen, especially like with a child's family, you know, maybe they experience a loss, and you see how it impacts them. You know, how can I support them? You know, how can I get them through it? But I'm thinking, man, I know I need to say something about their faith or God, but it's like I really can't go there. So I'm always thinking of, I'm trying to be, I don't know if sneaky is the right word, but I'm just trying to like maneuver my way to figure out how can I share something with them without actually going there.
Yeah.
I know sometimes you say clues or you know, buzzwords, you know, like when I'm talking to a parent, and then right away when that parent says something like, you know, we're gonna continue to pray, and we gonna, so when they say that, we're gonna continue to pray, I use that. I mean, I'll say, hey, can I pray with you?
I think for me, I'm a pretty quiet person, and I think it's just looking for those moments. Like, I envision a shepherd scanning the sheep, and the shepherd knows, it's in the Bible, knows the sheep know the shepherd. And I think it's just looking and seeing in that moment where you can step into that one person's life and being open to that.
But here at Bethel, for me, it just kind of starts off as with the youth, right? I think with kids, it's that's a huge challenge. But for somebody who deals with youth all the time, every day, I get a good sense for, you know, how to engage them, keeping them wanting to come back and learn more and just be a part of the environment, the faith environment. I thought was a primary thing to do.
It's not leadership, like guiding the people, but it's coming alongside the person and really caring for them in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's what to me shepherding seems to be about.
And that's a blessing. Yeah. You know, so God, when He blesses you with that, I just feel like when He gives you that blessing, you just can't keep quiet.
Well, thanks to Carla and JJ for sharing their stories. And yeah, shepherding is, it's coming alongside. It is it's a guiding, it's an encouraging. And there is a sense in which it's about God's given us these gifts, and so how do we encourage one another in that gift, especially the gift of faith? How do we encourage one another in that? Well, I wanted to tell you a story. My first church was in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. There's Manitowoc County. So Manitowoc, if you don't know, is a half hour south of Green Bay on Lake Michigan. If you add Manitowoc and the neighboring community of Two Rivers, known as Trivers, you get about 50,000 people, and that's a majority of the county. So when I got there, I had it on my heart. I wanted to visit every family in the congregation, which sounded great. This was the year 2000, though. And so I did not have a cell phone. I did not have a smartphone. And a lot of people lived way out in the county, all these rural places. You know, people would say, oh, yeah, they just live out in Francis Creek. Uh-huh. Or Taos, Whitelaw, Clark's Mills, Shodo, Branch. So I've got the, you know, fold-out map, and it's dark, it's winter, and I'm trying to figure out where people live, and I'm running late, can't call them and tell them. I figured I'd be lost in the county for months. I'll come home sometime when I can find my way home. But it was interesting, you know, I just learned a lot about the county, learned a lot about the congregation. But another amazing thing to me about that was that many who accepted my offer to come visit them, a lot of them had not been to church for a while. I was trying to just visit everybody who we had on that list, and a lot, you know, there was a number of them had not been in church for a while. And it was interesting when I'd get there to find out a little bit more about how the shepherding was going for them. Some people, I'd sit down, and I'd start talking to them, and then, you know, they'd, oh, you know, Pastor, we really haven't been in church for a while. Oh, well, tell me about that. And some people would have some story, maybe from years and years ago, from a previous senior pastor, I mean, way back, and they'd just say, you know, that pastor didn't treat us very well, and we've been angry since, you know, 1952. Like, oh, well, all right, it's the year 2000, you know. And in that sense, some, that I met, I could see where Jesus was saying that he felt compassion for the crowds because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. At some point, a shepherd, whether it was a pastor or somebody else in the church, had not treated them right. It's just like in the Jeremiah passage today, where God says, "Woe to you shepherds who are leading my people astray, and you're abusing them as I've set you up to lead the people, and yet you are not taking care of them. Woe to you." And so some of the people I met way out there in the county someplace, they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And so we could talk about how, well, that's not how it was meant to be. We have a good shepherd in Jesus. He cares for us in a more complete way than anyone else ever will. He is perfect. He is loving and compassionate and continues to show us mercy. Would you think about coming back to worship and so that you can keep hearing about the good shepherd? That was the encouragement some needed. Some, though, who hadn't been in church for a while, for some reason they would accept my offer to come visit them, and we'd talk a little bit, and they'd say, "Well, yeah, we really haven't been in church for, I don't know, 5 years or something like that." And they'd say, "But, you know, we know where the church is." Okay, good, because I'm confused on where I am, so can you get me back to the church? No, but they'd say, "You know, we know where the church is." Like, uh-huh. And, "Well, you know, if we need it, you know, we'll show up." And so here were some sheep without a shepherd, but by choice. They were choosing. They did not want to be shepherded. They were fine with their name being on some church list. They were fine for me to visit. They were polite. But really, they were sheep without a shepherd because they were saying, "We don't really need a shepherd." So that's a whole different challenge about shepherding. But that's where we're at. And then there were others that I would visit, and they were so thankful, and they were encouraged to be shepherded. And then I could see in their lives that they shepherded other people. This was not just about the pastor shepherding. Pastor does mean shepherd, but it wasn't just about the pastor shepherding. And today, as we talk about the spiritual gift of shepherding, it's not just about me. In fact, it's not in my top three gifts. We can talk about that later. All right. It's a little embarrassing. But I mean, it is about encouraging one another. And there's a lot of shepherding that goes on in the flock. So this picture I've had in the background here, that's a close-up of a painting that I've got in my office that my parents gave to me at my ordination. And I've always, there's different ways to think about the story that might be going on. There's two sheep, and in the real painting, it's even brighter in the right-hand corner. And so in some ways, it's kind of like the two sheep are looking to Jesus, the good shepherd, right? In some ways, I suppose it has also reminded me of my role. Here are two sheep who appear to be alone. They're looking for a shepherd. And I know that that's part of my role. Sometimes, though, it also kind of seems like the one is leading the other, that the one is shepherding the other. Hey, we're alone right now, but come along, follow me. I know where we can go. And there's shepherding going on within this flock of two. And that's what shepherds do. Shepherds protect. Shepherds provide sustenance. I mean, shepherds with sheep, they need to help the sheep find good places to graze. They keep peace in the flock. If the flock starts to, argue amongst themselves, the shepherd breaks it up. The shepherd defends against attackers, wolves and lions and everything like that. And they go search for strays. I count them up. One's missing. I'm going to go find that stray sheep. And they rescue those in danger. They hear the sheep bleeding and see that the sheep has fallen in some sort of crevice, and they reach and get that sheep out. That's what shepherds do. And so we use that language about being in God's church because God used it. He calls us sheep. He calls us his flock. He says, I will shepherd you. He sends Jesus as the good shepherd because none of the other shepherds were caring for the people completely well. And so he sends Jesus, the good shepherd, who knows how to truly care for us, who knows how to lead us and protect us, gave up his life for us. That's the good shepherd. We use this language because it's a way of recognizing that we all need to be led by him. And we all, in different ways, are lacking some basic skills as sheep. We don't always know where we're going to find good sustenance. And in this sense, it's the Word, right? We don't always keep remembering that we need to go back to the Word because that is what we need to sustain us. We wander and we need someone to come and find us. We get into dangerous situations and we need to be rescued. We squabble amongst ourselves and we need the good shepherd to step in and say, that's not why we're here. How can we work this out? And we work together as the flock. So we use that language as we think about being part of Bethel. Being or becoming a member of the gathering of disciples at Bethel means asking to be shepherded, cared for in your faith, and be held accountable in your life as a believer in Jesus. You're kind of like sheep showing up to Jesus. You know, here's Jesus, the good shepherd. And, well, here, we'll just do it this way. So this is how it works. So Jesus has got his flock, right? And he's brought them into the enclosure. These are fences. All right, and so the sheep are in the enclosure, and you show up. And what you're really doing when you approach Jesus is saying, will you shepherd me? I'm asking you to shepherd me, Jesus. I am asking you to lead me, guide me, teach me, protect me, and correct me when I am wrong. And Jesus says, wonderful, come on in. I want to be your shepherd. That's what it means to follow Jesus, is asking to be shepherded. And what it means to be part of a church is that we're asking one another, will you shepherd me? When I go astray, when I am in danger, when I am struggling, when I am squabbling, will you shepherd me? Will you keep bringing me back to the Word? We're asking to be shepherded. But the other side of this is also true. If we're asking to be shepherded and we join the flock, then it's also true that God needs us to commit to encourage fellow believers at Bethel in their faith. We need one another within the flock. Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is our guide, but we need one another, and he uses us in those ways to keep encouraging us within the flock. And so it is asking to be shepherded and committing to care for one another. And so if I could go back to all those days in Manitowoc County wandering and getting lost and coming to the people who say, well, you know, I know where the church is. Maybe I would have said, if I was thinking in these terms, maybe I would have said, right, you know where the church is. And I've come to say on behalf of the church that we know where you are. And we want to care for you. Are you asking to be shepherded? Yes, you've said you want to be a member of the church, but do you understand? Do you want to be shepherded? Do you want to be cared for in your faith? And by the way, when you're not there, we lack what you might be able to do to care for us in our faith. It's asking to be shepherded, and it's committing to shepherding others. That's what it is. As we call one another to the flock, as we encourage one another in the flock. And not all of us are going to have shepherding in the top three of our gifts, and yet it is about a commitment of being together in the flock, and so this is how it works. It's not just shepherding. That really asking to be shepherded and committing to shepherding others, that is the work of coming together as a church, but it is all supported by all of our 16 gifts and all of the combinations of gifts. There's somebody who needs to make the fence. There's somebody who needs to figure out where there's good water. There's somebody who's saying, you know what, we already ate all the grass over here. We should probably eat the grass over here today. We need all these different gifts as we shepherd one another, as we encourage one another, as we are cared for in the faith. The good shepherd leads us. The good shepherd guides us. He protects us, cares for us, but he does that through you and through all of these gifts. So let me ask you this. Are you asking to be shepherded, cared for in your faith? If so, answer by saying yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Are you committing to encourage fellow believers at Bethel in their faith? If so, answer by saying yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
You are shepherding one another. You are being shepherded by the Good Shepherd. I am being shepherded by the Good Shepherd. We are encouraging one another in this true faith. Praise God for that. Amen.